Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, this is Real Nerds Podcast, the best movie podcast in all of the internet. You want to know why, Brad?
Why, Ryan?
Because every week we see a new movie
what?
And we podcast our experience to the world. This week we saw... Fuck, what did we see?
Love Lies Bleeding?
Yeah, Love Lies Bleeding.
It's Stay okay. Tuned. I did the same thing all week too. I was like,
I'm all fucked up this week. Yeah. Stay tuned because we will recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about movie news. I really didn't see anything this week.
I got some news.
All right, perfect. And things we've watched throughout the week. And you know what also makes us great, Brad?
What?
It's really only me, but I usually write articles once or twice a week that I put on our website for you to enjoy. So not only can you listen to us, but you can also read my witty banter. I've been working on this, I don't know what you'd call it, series of articles, I guess, where I reveal my 150 favorite films. And today I just posted Roger Rabbit is my number 86 of my 150 favorite films.
That's a good one. That deserves to be up there.
It's a great one. When I was writing it, I write the whole plot of the movie out so it can give people an idea of what it's about, even though I'm sure most people know what Roger Rabbit's about. But then I also, at the bottom, I put why I love it. And I remember it was the first movie I saw where I was enthralled with how they made it. Because, you know, when they're in the nightclub with Jessica Rabbit and they had the little mechanical things walking around as waiters, and later
mechanical things
go in
penguins.
Yeah. And go in and draw, you know, whatever cartoon character they would have. And even when Bob Hoskins has Roger Rabbit handcuffed to him, how great is he acting with nothing there? And, you know, the handcuff is kind of stiff to simulate, you know, Roger Rabbit being handcuffed to him. I think it's brilliant, and the movie's funny. Definitely deserves to be on everybody's list, I think.
Yeah, his performance of that is such like an underrated performance. Like, he just carries, he just sells all that technical shit so well.
Yeah, and it's always a hard role. I mean, he's funny in it, but you have to be the straight man around all these zany cartoon characters. That's not an easy fucking job.
I just looked up he didn't get nominated for the Oscars, but his the people who did were like Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man, Gene Hackman, Tom Hanks, Max von Sydow, Kevin Kline, Martin Landau, Al Guinness.
That's quite the heavy hitters right there.
But I also say, like, probably my favorite performance of 1988.
Oh yeah, no, I fucking love Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I definitely. If I was making your list, that would be way higher than on mine. What is it? 100 and something?
86.
86. Yeah, it's probably top 50 for me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting as I go through this. I might have to do a couple bonus ones that won't be numbered, because as I watch movies, obviously something might funnel its way in there.
Yeah.
Because I cut it off at some point last year because Bottoms made the list. So at some point last year, I don't know exactly when I cut it off, but I might have to do like, hey, if I saw this in this time frame that I wrote this, this would be part of my list, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really fun. It's going through this.
I just happened to scroll through the list. Roger Rabbit did win for film editing, which is very appropriate.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. It's, and you know, my favorite characters in it are the weasels. Yeah. I just think they're cool. And one of my favorite lines in any movie ever is when, Hoskins is holding Roger down in the dishwater and, the leader of the weasels comes up and he says, "Step out of line, Valiant, and we'll hang you and your laundry out
to dry."
To dry. I don't know. I just fucking love that line. Good stuff.
It also got its own award for special achievement. So, and obviously visual effects.
Yeah. Clearly. I mean, that's a movie that should have been nominated for like 12 Oscars. But what do I know? Anyways, this week we saw Love Lies Bleeding. Brad, do you recommend Love Lies Bleeding?
I guess, like parts of it are really interesting and then other parts are super weird.
Like an A24 movie through and through.
Yeah, straight up A24 movie. Yeah, like I was dialed into some parts. I thought they were really cool. It's like really brutal in a lot of places. And then other parts are just like, what's happening? Like, clearly this is a artistic representation of what's going on, but wow. okay, that's a choice. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, not a slam dunk for me, but I didn't hate it.
So here's the caveat I have with this film. I enjoyed it, but can I recommend it? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to tell people to see this movie because there's some parts in it, and I do this all the time. When I watch a movie and I know what's going on and I know what they're trying to say, but I revert to Jay from Dogma when I go, "What the f- is going on? What the fuck happened to that guy's head?" That's all I think of, because it's so outlandish. And I the whole time I think, do people just go to A24 and they have a pretty good movie and then some really fucked up shit in it, and then A24 says, "You know what? Sold."
Yeah, but A24 is like, "Yeah, we like the script, but it could use more fucked up shit in it. So let's add this scene. This could be exaggerated. This could be really super weird."
So it's hard for me to recommend, quote unquote, but I don't think I think people should see it, if that makes any sense. But I wouldn't go to my mom and say, "You know what, Mom? Love Lies Bleeding. That's the movie you have to see." Here's the trailer for Love Lies Bleeding.
The excitement in the air is palpable. The atmosphere is electric. A celebration of history in the making.
What is this place? You're looking pretty good in there. There's some pretty serious lines going. Yeah? Why don't you want me working for your dad? Oh, he's a psycho. It's not that big girl.
That you two are maybe together.
Do you like guns?
I prefer to know my own strength.
That's not what I'm paying you for.
If you touch her, I'm gonna tell them everything you ever did.
Are you threatening me?
We gotta get out of here. Let's just keep driving. I fucking love you, you idiot. I love you too.
You'll regret this.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, fuck.
My favorite review of this movie was someone congratulated Dave Franco for his jaw-dropping performance.
Hey-o!
If you've seen the movie, you'll understand.
That's pretty clever. He's a scumbag in this movie. Love Lies Bleeding stars Kristen Stewart as a woman who manages a gym. And her father, played by Ed Harris, runs a gun range / restaurant. And a woman named Jackie comes to the town. She bangs James Franco in the back of his car because she wants a job, because she's on her way to Las Vegas to compete in a bodybuilder championship.
Yep.
I think that's what they're called. It reminds me of like the Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff, the Mr. Olympia thing.
Yeah, Mr. Universe or whatever.
Yeah. And one night she starts working out at Kristen Stewart's, her name's Lou, in the film's gym, and there's an immediate attraction there, and they hit it off and hook up, and they decide they're going to go to Vegas, but then it kind of takes this turn into kind of a film noir.
The job Jackie banged Dave Franco for was it was at the gun range, so things start to get complicated.
And Ed Harris is Lou's Kristen Stewart's dad, where they have a really complicated relationship. At the same time, she also gives Jackie steroids to help her in her performance. And Ed Harris is some sort of crime boss too, who smuggles guns. I guess you'd call him an arms dealer.
Yeah, arms smuggler.
And you get hints throughout the film that Lou is involved in it somehow, killing people and dumping their bodies in this
ravine,
canyon ravine kind of thing. And yeah, then it starts going sideways.
Then you find out Dave Franco is like beating his wife, who's the sister of Lou.
Correct.
And so Jackie takes matters into her own hands and fucks him up big makes time.
Him like curb stomps him on a fucking
coffee table. Yeah. Breaks his jaw clean off his face. One of the gnarliest things I've seen on film.
Yeah, in my screening, it was pretty interesting because the way it's sold, it seems like it would play to an older audience. So I saw it, and there was a bunch of old people in my screening. And when she did that and his like jaw went like gnarly and stuff, and then you saw his dead body later on, people in my audience were audibly going,
Nice.
So the steroid thing too is, she starts hulking up when she gets it and becomes bigger, like not only figuratively, but
literally,
literally. At the end of the movie, she's, I don't know, 40 feet tall.
Yeah,
not really. I mean, it's obviously,
like an artistic interpretation of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a She-Hulk movie at that point.
Yeah.
But it was disappointing that like she does get that huge, like as like a normal sized person, she just like destroyed Franco. But like probably the worst guy in the movie is her dad, and she just pins him to the ground, and then like it's implied that he's like either maimed or like hurt really bad.
Yeah, because Lou jams that gun down his throat really far. And there's a part of me too, you know, when I'm watching it at the end where, you know, Lou runs and finds Jackie. I didn't understand why he just let her get her out when they're in the wide open in the tennis court. They could have easily been shot.
I know. And it feels like he's a pretty good sniper. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that whole sequence, I was like, you guys are spending way too much time out in the open.
Yeah. But the performances are really great in the movie. I've never seen, have you seen that? I don't even know what her name is. The lady who plays Jackie. Have you seen her in anything else?
Nah, I feel like I have, but I can't tell you what it was.
She's really good in it. Kristen Stewart is, you know, I've always kind of liked her. when you get her past the Twilight stuff, and the Twilight stuff's not her fault, it's the material.
She's actually in Quantumania. She's really? Gentora, which I don't remember that character that well, but it's probably one of the aliens in the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's going to be in Twisters.
Nice. Not one tornado, but two.
Yeah. Kristen Stewart's indie stuff is pretty, the solid filmography, I think.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I usually enjoy it. Even have you seen Underwater? It's a fun monster movie. It's way better than I thought it would be. Check it out. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but it's like the movie is really cool, and I think it's well made. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
It's super heady, noir, gritty drama is superseded by, these Hulk moments. And,
whenever she starts taking steroids, her world just descends into weirdness.
Yeah, people gasped in my screening, too, when she shot that,
the clingy, wannabe girlfriend of Blue. Yeah.
But I kind of saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah, I thought something was going to happen, but yeah, I didn't call just getting shot right out in the open like that.
Yeah,
you think Lou would have noticed someone nearby. She seemed pretty on top of keeping her eyes open. And the other thing it's set in the 80s or early 90s, very subtly, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's not overplayed, and the film even looks like it's from that era too. So they did a good job on the cinematography, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the very end, the clingy girlfriend isn't really dead. And then Lou's just screw it. I'll just follow my dad's footsteps and start killing people.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, it's not something I'd be like, dude, you gotta see Love Lies Bleeding. I would recommend, if you want to see Dave Franco's jaw get ripped off, then that's cool.
I mean, I think it tells you kind of start liking the characters when they're in their quote unquote intimate moments, not like the sex scenes, but the, when they're talking to each other. And, I do like the transformation of Lou, where at the beginning she's kind of standoffish and a loner, but as Jackie and her relationship grows, her defenses kind of go down.
Yeah.
And she comes more likable. So there's that. It's fun. I like seeing James Franco get his jaw broken. I mean, Dave Franco.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Love Lies Bleeding. Brad, you said you have some news.
I do.
It's real news.
Two things real quick. Obviously the new Beetlejuice trailer dropped and the internet's just adoring it. And I like Beetlejuice, but I'm so frustrated with the fact that people complain about Hollywood pumping out remakes and reboots and sequels so much. And yet here's this one and people are like, oh my God, we're getting another Beetlejuice. This is awesome. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. It might be good, but given the track record of how people react to sequels and not just Tim Burton, but just any sequel or reboot in general lately, they always seem disappointed. It's why have you not learned your lesson?
I am in the minority. My wife and kid love Beetlejuice. I am not that big a fan of the movie. I love when Michael Keaton's on screen, but he's literally in the movie for 5 minutes. So yeah. The rest of it is just Tim Burton being Tim Burton, and it's just not my jam.
I think someone mentioned online, he's probably only going to be in another 5 minutes of this movie too, right? so be prepared. I like it. I'm excited. Like, I'm not one of those people who just gets so bent out of shape when like stuff gets rebooted or sequelized. So, you know, if it doesn't please me, I'll just be like, cool, going on with my life. But yeah, it's just so frustrating to see how many people are so excited about it. And I've seen them before just like take movies to town. It's like, dude, be careful.
Yep.
Yeah, the actual big news this week is that the Esquire is officially closing in July.
Boo.
Yeah. The Landmark Preservation Council did not save it. Unanimously voted to gut it, which doesn't feel like preservation to me. But yeah, you have
Dude, they need to put a Noodles and Company in the basement.
I know, right? That area only has one like 10 blocks away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed like the public hearing on that like by a day. Didn't know it was happening. I would have loved to go in there and say, like, you know, first of all, have any of you on the council even been to the Esquire? No, that's what I thought. Second, like, so this facility has two screens and holds like 250 people, and you're going to convert that into two restaurants that will probably become two other restaurants by the end of the year. And then five office spaces, private spaces that no one can use.
Yeah.
Only five people can use. Like, this definitely, yeah, this feels like, why don't you just drive down Sixth Avenue and see like all the other restaurants and office spaces that aren't being used and are up for lease, you know?
Like, and the bummer is how much of a cultural icon that is, you know?
I know. That's a style of theater you can't get anywhere else. And it programs things that you will not see anywhere else.
Yep.
Yeah, like just the room in Rocky Horror alone are just like iconic in that area. It's,
yep.
It's sad that they don't appreciate it.
Nope.
So yeah, that's where that's at. So definitely go appreciate it while you can.
I'm gonna take my wife to a Rocky Horror there.
I know. I'm gonna text your wife this week and see if she wants to go on a date.
You fucker.
Cause that's coming up this week. So yeah, I think I'm going to like try to do some farewell screenings of some kind there. You know, maybe Real Nerds Presents, I don't know, Black Dynamite or something. Something I saw there that I loved.
So I threw that shit from the other room.
yeah, that's what I got for news.
Oh, nice. Way to bum us out.
If you know anyone that like has a lot of money and wants to own a vintage theater, and has like $6 million, contact Unique Properties and try to buy it from them. Cause that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you
get a loan for that.
Yeah. Or if you have like an awesome credit rating and a lot of like access to business loans and want to just lease the theater and be a theater exhibitor and, that's not Landmark and without owning the building, the property owners claim that they are open to that idea. I don't think so, but they say they are. So why not try for it? They said they went through an exhaustive search trying to find someone else other than Landmark to take the space, but that was before Landmark agreed to not come back. So I don't know why they were shopping for other people in that time.
They're tired. Brad, didn't you hear exhaustive?
It was really hard making calls and putting up no signs or advertisements for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Lame. Hey, we watched things throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Quite a few things. Need to dial back. Let's see. New stuff. I saw an advanced screening of Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, nice.
Which seems to be, on a lot of people's radar. The house I was in was packed. And yeah, it was not the movie that I thought it was. It's interesting. I don't know if I was like in love with it, but.
When I was at Telluride Horror Show in October, it was there. And it definitely had a lot of buzz when we were there.
You missed it? You didn't get to watch it?
No. What did I see? I can't remember what I saw instead the first night. And then when I went the second night, it was sold out. So
yeah,
even with my pass, I didn't get there soon enough.
There's not too much I can say about it without spoiling it. I went into the movie thinking it was this one thing. Like, you know, the title Late Night with the Devil, I try to, like, I assumed not to take it so literally. So I thought it was like, oh, it's about this TV host who's, you know, charming on camera, but is like a total dick to his crew and everything behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was going to like just descend further and further and just treat people like shit to like save a show by the end of the night. But no, it's literally Late Night with the Devil. A lot of set in the 70s demonic stuff. It's kind of like a found footage movie where it's the entire taping of the show from that night. Mm. And so you like watch what's happening, like the people do at home. And then in commercial breaks, it like goes to black and white and shows the behind the scenes stuff. And sort of in real time, like 24. It is pretty cool in those ways, but a lot of the show is like, here's some demonic stuff happening that we brought guests on for, and then there's like someone there to contradict and like blow holes in all those superstitions and things, and it just kind of like bounces back and forth all night of like, is this real or is it not? Like, yeah. So, but it's cool. It's like definitely a different kind of movie than you'll see.
Yeah, I might try to see it Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, I think it's worth a watch. I don't know if I guess it depends on like what kind of horror you like, whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not. The other thing I saw was Knox Goes Away.
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie starring and directed by Michael Keaton.
Oh.
And I probably would have liked it more if there wasn't just one other dude in the theater with me with an open gross cough.
Oh.
And crinkling a candy wrapper. The entire hour and 30 minutes, both those things. He kept pulling me out of the movie. I could not stay focused on it, but essentially, there's this guy, Knox. You learn that he is a hitman and, it obviously like broke up his family. But when the movie starts, you find out that he has a degenerative, cognitive ability, like he's slipping into dementia. So he's doing this one job and he accidentally kills his partner in the job because he's like starting to have delusions of things and mistakes him for someone else. And then his son, played by James Marsden, shows up and you find out that he has killed someone who raped his daughter.
Ooh.
And so he's like, you know, Dad, I know you're good with this stuff. Can you help me out? And so Knox goes on this, like, you know, he doesn't disclose what he's going through to everyone yet, but he takes on this thing where he has to like unframe his son, and frame the guy he killed. And so, and as he's going, it's like he slips into dementia. Everything. And then you find out, like, he's actually using the dementia to help throw everyone off the trail. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, but it's also like kind of a lot of what you've seen before. And I totally saw what he was doing like halfway through the movie. So, but like the interesting part is like, oh, this is not only like acted starring Michael Keaton, but also directed and everything. And,
nice.
Yeah.
How is he as a director?
Conventional. He didn't seem like he went above and beyond on it. Definitely like a character piece. You know, there's not a lot less splashy special effects. There's like a lot of conversation scenes and just very little action.
Mm.
And there's like a bunch of detectives trying to like follow him, you know, and all those scenes and their dialogue are very much like something out of CSI. It's almost like too quippy to be real. Like every one of the officers has like a snarky comeback for everything. It's just like, I've seen this so much. Can't you guys just be normal detectives? And that's all I saw for now. Yeah. What did you see?
So I was not good this week. I didn't really watch anything. But what I did do is I went to level 7 games, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And the game I bought was the Game of the Year edition of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Nice.
And I know, inside of it, it was a mini art book, stickers, and a free Pizza Hut pizza.
Yeah, pan pizza.
Yeah. But the cool thing is, I put it in, and my son asked if he could play it with me. I was like, yeah, it's way better if you have someone playing with you. So every night I came home from work, we played it for like an hour or so. And so we were, I literally just played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles all week.
Awesome.
And it was really fun. And that game is really well made, and the graphics are cool, and the Game of the Year edition, they let you change the look of your turtle. It also has a couple extra characters in it.
Yeah, like if you if you go through like the story mode or something, like with each character, you unlock a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm not at the end yet. We made it to the Technodrome, but I don't know how many more levels there are. I don't know how many levels are in. I think we're on level 14 or something.
Huh. I think it's like 18.
Yeah, cool. So we're almost there.
It's like an uneven number or something.
But it's cool. Like, it has a bunch of hidden things in it and a lot of Easter eggs for the cartoon, which I really appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the levels are really creative. I like the level when you were on the rooftop. I thought was really cool because you could fall in between the buildings, or you could throw guys in the building, in between the buildings, which would unlock trophies. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun playing it. And I liked that they brought a lot of goofy characters from the show, you know, like Rat King. And I like that Bebop and Rocksteady kept on showing up. But each time they would appear, they would, you know, be in a monster truck or other things like that. It's just a really fun game. And it's way more fun when you play with someone.
I know. You can do up to 4, I think. Yeah. Did you mean anniversary edition, not Game of the Year edition?
Yeah, whatever the...
It's got Usagi and Karai on the cover.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So it's not the standard edition, it's the whatever. Yeah.
Anniversary. Yeah. Edition. I was like, Game of the Year edition. Like, where's I was looking it up, I couldn't find it. It's like, I bet he means anniversary.
So it's whatever that one is. But it was cool. Like, I didn't expect a free on the cover, it doesn't say there's a free Pizza Hut thing in there.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. So the game was like $30. And it came with all that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, that's literally all I did all week, is play Ninja Turtles with my kid.
Real quick, I keep forgetting to mention the other thing I watched is on YouTube. I've been watching these Vanity Fair interviews with like film people.
Oh yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're like, they just like recall their careers and like sometimes like they'll go over their characters.
Yeah, more like iconic roles.
Or iconic films. So like there's a Scorsese one, there's like a Ben Affleck and Matt Damon together one. Russell Crowe, like all these, like, yeah, they're all just fascinating. Just like, they just there and talk to themselves about, you know, what they're thinking, how they got into roles. Like, yeah, it's really, like, really insightful.
Yeah. So. You definitely check it out. Yeah. Emily Blunt was on it, a couple weeks ago. It was great.
Paul Giamatti. Yeah. That was another one I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Next week we are seeing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. That'll be fun. I always love Ghostbusting.
Yeah. Busting makes me feel good.
I'm going to say it, but Busting makes me feel good.
Get out.
But yeah, until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!